Welcome to Season 7, Episode 1 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In this new season, we're going to be discussing the topic of salvation. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about God's plan for you. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about this topic. So I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. Let's get started. A favorite verse in the Bible for many people is Jeremiah 29:11. That verse says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." People often wonder what God's plan is for their lives. And this passage suggests that God knows certain plans. Yet people want to know what the future holds for them in their lives, and they want to know this so badly that they will often run wild in speculation about every circumstance, every decision, or every consequence that exists in their lives, trying to determine some greater significance to these events. Now, the Bible certainly does address this issue about God's plan for our lives, but we can only know what God has revealed to us. And people often get caught up in trying to find God's plan for them in the details of their life, in jobs and homes and hardships they face and all sorts of things, even though there are no such plans, divine plans, that can be found in the revealed will of God as we have it in the Bible. And by devoting our mental effort to mere curiosities and speculations, it becomes easier for us to ignore the big picture. And sadly, many have done this and have become like that thorny ground in the parable of the sower, that they are choked with worries and of this life, and they bring no fruit to maturity, as Jesus talked about in Luke 8, verse 14. So when we think about these plans that God has for us, and what that verse in Jeremiah 29:11 says, I can tell you that I know what God's plan is for you. And in this episode, we're going to see what that plan is from the Bible. So God's plan for you is that He desires for you to be with Him in heaven. Shortly before His death, Jesus explained His plan to His apostles in John 14:2-3, where He says, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." This place that Jesus was planning to prepare was not on the earth. Otherwise, He could have stayed to prepare the place, but He was going. He was having to depart and would later return to bring them to this place. And this promise of salvation and a home in heaven was not just for the apostles that Jesus was speaking to on that occasion. This promise is for everyone. After His death and His resurrection, Jesus told these apostles in Mark 16:15-16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved." Peter later told the household of Cornelius in Acts 10:34-35, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears Him and does what is right is welcome to Him." God wants you to be with Him in heaven for eternity. This is His plan. And we must not ignore this plan or minimize its importance because we're too busy searching for some plan that we think God has for us here on the earth, as far as what home we're going to have, where we're going to live, what job we're going to have, or any number of things that we think about and we wonder about. We have no divine revelation expressly describing that type of plan. But God has expressly revealed His eternal and heavenly plan for us. So that's what we need to remember, and that's what we need to focus on. Now, in order for this plan to be fulfilled, several things had to happen. God has made sure that everything necessary was carried out in order to give you the opportunity to be with him in heaven. Well, what were those things that had to be done? Number one, sin had to be dealt with. The first step to making a home in heaven available to us was to deal with the problem of sin. Isaiah 59:2 says that sin separates us from God. If sin was not dealt with appropriately, we could not be in heaven with God. Well, why not? Could God not simply choose to ignore sin? Well, no, he couldn't. It would be against his nature to ignore sin. John said that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all, 1 John 1:5. So God had to address this problem. Furthermore, we need to remember that sin is a universal problem. As Paul said in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one of accountable age is exempt from this. So do not think that you are somehow the exception to this rule. Your sins needed to be dealt with just the same as my sins and the sins of everyone else. Jesus was going to have to come to earth to deal with sin. He came to reconcile us to God, Ephesians 2:16, and this would require his death on the cross, as he would sacrifice his life in order to make atonement for our sins and to reconcile us to God. So the first thing that had to be done, sin had to be dealt with. And the second thing, as we've already introduced, Christ had to come. God's eternal purpose, Paul says, was carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, Ephesians 3:11. His predetermined plan involved Jesus being nailed to a cross and being put to death, as Peter talked about in the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:23. In order for God's plan to be carried out, several things had to be done to prepare the way for Christ. Paul wrote in Galatians 4:4, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." Jesus' arrival on the earth was not an accident. The fact that circumstances were favorable to God's plan to be carried out was no coincidence. God deliberately chose a certain time, the proper time, to send Christ into the world. And prior to Jesus beginning his public ministry, John the Baptist would prepare the way for him. The gospel writer in Mark pointed out that John's coming was prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah 40 and verse 3. Again, this was not happenstance. This was God's predetermined plan. And in addition to the prophecy about John, who was the forerunner of Christ, there are many other prophecies about Jesus throughout the Old Testament. Peter said of these prophets in 1 Peter 1:12, "It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you." The prophecies were revealed for our benefit. In sending Christ, God was not just concerned about the people of the first century, but all who might read these prophecies in the Old Testament about Christ and gain the encouragement of the Scriptures and have hope, as Romans 15:4 says. So not only did this plan have to be made and the events foretold, God had to preserve the lineage that would lead to Christ. If you read the book of Matthew in the first chapter, in the first 17 verses, it shows the genealogy of Jesus from Abraham all the way to the birth of Jesus. That line had to be preserved. The promise was first made to Abraham, "In you all the families of the earth will be blessed," in Genesis 12 and verse 3. This promise was passed on through Isaac and Jacob and the nation of Israel. This is why the nation of Israel was preserved despite their sin. They were preserved so that salvation might yet come for all of us. That was the point of the passage that we started with in Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." That verse is not talking about God planning what job someone is going to have or something of that nature today. This is about the restoration of the Jews from Babylonian captivity and looking forward to the time when the people would be gathered from all the nations, a foreshadowing of the kingdom of Christ being established. It's talked about in that passage In Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 14, Isaiah talks about it in Isaiah 2, 2 and 3. This is looking forward to that salvation that would come about when Christ's kingdom was established and the preservation of the nation of Israel had to be there in order for this to be carried out. So as you go back further, we see God's plan unfolding from the very beginning. After sin was introduced into the world, God sentenced the serpent for his role in the fall, and in doing so, he revealed a prophecy about the future triumphant work of Christ. Genesis 3:15 says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He will bruise you on the head, and you will bruise him on the heel." These points we've been talking about offer a brief summary of all that God has done to make salvation possible for you. With all that he has done to make this salvation available, to carry out his plan, remember what Paul said in Romans 2 and verse 4, "Do not think lightly of the riches of his kindness, for the kindness of God leads you to repentance." This is an important point for us to remember. This plan does not just involve the actions of God. His plan is that we are led to do something. We have to understand what he expects us to do. So that brings us to the final point. Man had to be shown the way. We cannot direct ourselves to heaven apart from God. Jeremiah said, "I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps," in Jeremiah 10:23. The way to heaven is through Christ. He is the way, John 14 and verse 6. We need to know how to follow that way. The eternal purpose in Christ was going to be made known through the gospel. Paul talks about that in Ephesians 3, 8 through 11. This gospel message is for all creation, which is why Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. As God has planned all things necessary to save us, he's also chose us before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1, 4. Now, many are quick to argue that God made these choices of individuals arbitrarily through divine prerogative, but that's not what Paul was talking about. Look at the whole verse in Ephesians 1, 4. "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him." Question: who will be saved? First, Paul said that the ones God chooses are those who are in him, meaning in Christ. Well, how does someone get in Christ? Romans 6:3 and Galatians 3:27 says we are baptized into Christ. In order to be saved, one must submit to baptism in order to get into Christ, which is why Peter said in 1 Peter 3:21, baptism now saves you. And second, Paul says that the chosen ones are those who would be holy and blameless before him. We are expected to conduct our lives according to God's standard. Paul said in Titus 2:11 that after the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation to all men, these ones who were saved by his grace were taught to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Next verse, verse 12. And the ones who belonged to Christ, as he says in verse 14 of Titus 2, are going to be zealous for good deeds. Our responsibility in God's great plan for us is summarized by the wise man in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. "Fear God and keep his commandments," because this applies to every person. Circumstances in our life are going to change. There will be times when we're going to suffer hardship. There are going to be times where we experience joy. But one thing remains constant. Our responsibility is to obey the Lord. This obedience leads to salvation. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 5:9 that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to those who obey him. And to God, This salvation was a matter of utmost importance. This is God's plan for you, for you to be saved. And God has done everything to make that possible. And it's up to you to decide if it's going to be your highest priority as well. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. Next week, we're going to be talking about four contributors to our salvation. Until then, I hope you have a great week.